I invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 10. We're going to start reading at the end of Romans 10, and then we're going to fall into Romans chapter 11. I want to talk to you about let's make someone jealous in 2017. Let's make someone jealous in 2017. A couple of things while you're finding your way to the end of Romans 10. First of all, I want you to say hi to my friend Barry Rampersad. Barry is visiting from San Fernando, Trinidad. Barry, would you just give a wave to everybody so they can see you? Barry is our friend Bishop Chankersing's right-hand man, and when we visit Trinidad, Barry takes amazing care of us. He drives us everywhere. He knows literally everybody on the island of Trinidad, and he knows the best places for food, and he takes us there, and bless you, Barry. He was here on business and got snowed in, so we're glad to see you. We're glad you got stuck, so you're stuck with us, Barry, and we're glad to see you. In your bulletin this morning, there is a reading schedule to read through the Bible in a year. And maybe at the start of 2017, you would like to set a goal to read through your Bible this year. Some of you may have never done that. You may have read portions of the Bible here and there. But how many of you know Jesus said, man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so maybe this is your year to read through the Bible. There's a Bible reading schedule. We're only 1 week into the new year, so it's not too late to get started. Only takes about 15 to 20 minutes a day of reading to read through your Bible in a whole year. There's also an app that you can download to your smartphone or to your iPad. The information is there on that sheet. And they will send you the daily reading to your device, and it'll even read it to you. So some of you are more auditory learners than visual, and maybe in your commute on the train or in the car, you can put on the app and let it read the scripture to you and go through the Bible in a year. Maybe it's been a while since you've done that, and that would be a good goal to get through the scriptures this year. And then one last thing, Wednesday evening is Vision Night. We're going to be gathering here in the sanctuary. There will be a special program called Mad Science for the kids downstairs. Hopefully they won't blow the building up while we're up here in the sanctuary. But the adults and teenagers are going to be here, and we're just going to take a look at this coming year and the challenges that are ahead of us and the direction the Lord's given us for 2017. And we hope you'll come and be part of that. We'll be worshiping. We'll be having communion together. So we hope that you'll come and join us this Wednesday evening at 7. All right, Romans chapter 10. Going to begin reading in verse 19. Let's make someone jealous in 2017. Romans 10, beginning in verse 19. Paul says, again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious. Would you repeat that word with me? Envious. I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation who has no understanding. Jump down to chapter 11 and verse 1. Paul says, I asked then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he appealed to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me too. And what was God's answer to Elijah? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, it would no longer be grace. What then? What the people of Israel sought so earnestly, they did not obtain. The elect among them did, but the others were hardened. Jumping to verse 11 of chapter 11, Romans 11, 11. Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. Would you say that word with me again? Envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their full inclusion bring? I'm talking to you, Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I make the most of my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy. Would you say that word with me again? Envy and save some of them. Let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come minister to us this morning. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the fresh fallen snow that reminds us, Lord, that though our sins were as scarlet, Jesus' blood has washed them whiter than snow. Father, I pray that we would encounter you through the ministry of your word this morning. If your heart agrees with that, would you say amen and amen? Every one of us who is a believer in Jesus, every one of us who belongs to Jesus, was called by him in a divine moment. Somewhere deep inside, we heard God call our name, and he gave us the faith to respond in that moment. Might have been at a church service when you heard the gospel preached and the presence of the Lord was there. It might have been at a kitchen table when someone told you about Christ and God's presence came into that moment. Might have been a moment when you were alone. But wherever and whenever your moment of faith came, there was a process that preceded it. God was drawing you to himself. God was softening your heart. God was preparing your heart. God was awakening spiritual desire within your heart. God sent someone special across your path, and you saw that person had something that you lacked. You saw that they had something that you needed, that you wanted. God sent someone to make you jealous. I want us to embark on a mission together in 2017. What if we made it our goal that we would be that special person God could use to make someone jealous? What if we made it our goal to be a gathering of special people together that God could use to call many people to salvation in 2017? Let's make it our goal to make someone jealous in 2017. Romans 11 reveals a lot about how God works in history and about how God works in human hearts. Paul's beloved Jewish people have mostly rejected Jesus. Most have stumbled over the stumbling stone, a crucified Messiah. Most have rejected the gospel, but their temporary rejection is all part of God's bigger plan to spread the good news of Jesus to the whole world. Gentile believers in Jesus have now come to enjoy all the blessings that were promised to the Jewish people, but they forfeited. But God uses that, Paul says, to arouse jealousy in his people and to call them to faith in their Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua. Somebody pictured it like this. It's like parenting 101. You offer a treat to your son and he refuses it. So you offer it to his little sister instead, and she receives it and she enjoys it. And your son watches his little sister enjoying the treat that he refused, and he gets jealous. He wants some of it. That's a good picture of how God is working in his family in the world. Looking at Romans 11, I see a few truths about making others jealous, and I want to share them with you quickly this morning. Let's make someone jealous in 2017. A few truths from Romans 11. First, who shall we make jealous? Who shall we make jealous? You know, sometimes following Jesus can feel like a losing battle in the world. We're personally experiencing the goodness of the Lord, but we don't see other people responding in the numbers we want to see. We don't see our loved ones responding. Paul certainly felt that way. The number of Jewish people that responded to the gospel was a drop in the bucket compared to the whole nation. And Paul recalls Elijah's discouragement. Lord, am I alone following you? Am I the only Jew left following you? But Romans 11 encourages us that God is always doing much more than is apparent to us. God is always doing far more than we can see, and he will do far more than we could possibly imagine. There are many kinds of hearts that God is working on right now. There are many kinds of hearts that God can and will make jealous through us. Who shall we make jealous? Well, first of all, let's make open hearts jealous. Paul says that right now there are some people out there ready to receive God's grace. God has chosen them, that they've been in his grace process for a while already. God has been working on their hearts. He's been drawing them. He's been calling them. Like Nathanael, who was sitting under the fig tree, meditating about the Messiah to come. Like the woman who came to draw water at the well, and she was full of spiritual questions and had a history of very messy relationships. There was a Roman centurion named Cornelius who was reading the scriptures and praying every day, not knowing whether he was doing it right or whether his prayers were being heard. Turns out they were. There was a woman named Lydia, a businesswoman, in a little prayer circle on a riverbank outside of Philippi, yearning to know the Jewish God. There are all kinds of people out there who are ready to receive Jesus. All they need is one divinely orchestrated encounter with you to provoke them to jealousy. All they need is a meeting with you that God sets up, and they'll see something in you and they'll say, "That's what I want. That's what I've been lacking. That's what I need." All they need is one moment in worship here when the presence of the Lord is with us, and they'll say, "That's what I want." Can't tell you how many times over the years I've had people come to me and they've said, "I wish that I could have the faith that you have. I wish that I could feel what all you people are feeling while you're gathered together for worship." We're provoking them to jealousy. There are open hearts out there waiting, ready right now for you and me. But those aren't the only hearts that God wants to reach through us. Who shall we make jealous? Let's make hard hearts jealous. In talking about his own beloved Jewish people, Paul tells us some important things about hard-heartedness. First of all, he says that hard-heartedness is only partial. And second, hard-heartedness is not necessarily permanent. It can become permanent, but it doesn't have to be. Paul tells us in these verses that the hearts of many Jewish people have been hardened to Jesus, but they haven't been hardened all the way. Paul himself was one of those hard-hearted Jews, but he came to faith in Christ, and so have many more Jews, more than we realize. And Paul says their hearts are only hardened temporarily. One day, very soon, their hearts will be wide open to receive Jesus. Early one morning, when Paul left Jerusalem bound for Damascus with an arrest warrant in his hand, no one would have ever guessed that by noon on the same day, he would become a believer in Jesus. Paul hated Jesus. Paul hated anyone who loved Jesus. Someone put it this way, and it's really not an overstatement: Paul was like the ISIS of his day. He murdered Christian men. He carried Christian women and children off to prison. He seized Christian assets. He put Christians out of business. He was a prominent leader in a major world religion. His heart was completely closed to Jesus in every way. Literally, he was the last person on earth that anyone thought would become a believer in Jesus. But all it took was one moment in his presence. So who's the hardest hearted person you know? Who do you know that hates Jesus and hates anyone who loves Jesus? Who do you know that is so steeped in his own religion that he doesn't want to hear anything from you about your Jesus? Among those you know, who is the last person you could ever imagine becoming a believer in Jesus? Who is the last person you could imagine standing here in this sanctuary with his or her arms lifted up, worshiping the Lord? Be encouraged from Romans 11. One day, this year, that person could leave his house in the morning, and by noon, he could be a believer in Jesus. You see, his hardness of heart is only partial after all, and it's not necessarily permanent. His heart might have been hard for years, but it's not hard all the way, and it might not stay hard all the way through his life. God can and will use us to reach hard-hearted people and make them jealous. Who shall we make jealous? Let's make wild hearts jealous. A couple of times in Romans 11, Paul gives Gentile believers a little jab to remind us to be humble when thinking about the Jewish people. It's highly probable that there was tension in the Roman church between Jewish believers and Gentile believers. And it's quite possible that the Gentile believers were less appreciative and honoring of their Jewish brothers and sisters than they should have been. So Paul jabs them a little bit in these verses. He says, why should you doubt that many Jewish people will become believers in Jesus? After all, you did. And if God could call a wild-hearted person like you, then God could call a Jew too. In chapter 9, Paul says the Jewish people are zealous for God. They're conscientious. They're spiritually minded. The Gentiles, on the other hand, did not pursue God. They didn't care about holiness. They lived without a moral compass, pursuing their own passions and pleasures. In Romans 11, Paul calls Gentiles wild branches. Yet God was able to call us to faith and unite us to Christ and to God's family. You know, it's true that there are more wild hearts than ever before in our society. Sociologists have been tracking the rapid rise of what they call the nones, N-O-N-E-S, people who have no religious affiliation. When they're asked what religion they are, they check the box that says none. They're just like the Gentiles that Paul talks about in Romans 9 and 11. They're not pursuing God. They're not guided by a biblical moral compass. They are wild branches. They are wild at heart. But they're not beyond God's ability to call to faith and unite to his family. If God could save wild branches in the first century, how many of you know he can still save wild branches in the 21st century? God can and will use us to make them jealous if we're the genuine article. Who shall we make jealous? Let's make prodigal hearts jealous. Let's make prodigal hearts jealous. I've been a believer in Jesus for 42 years. In that time, I have seen thousands and thousands of people find faith in Jesus, and I've also seen some fall away. But Romans chapter 11 tells us that there is hope for the prodigals. Talking about his beloved Jewish people, Paul says they are branches that have been cut off from God's family because of unbelief, but God is able to bring them back to faith, and he's able to unite them to his family again. In verse 15 of chapter 11, Paul says their acceptance will bring nothing less than life from the dead. You know, those are the very same words that the loving father used when his prodigal son came home again. He said, "My son who was dead is alive again." And what was it that caused the prodigal son to have a change of heart while he was wallowing in the pig pen? He came to realize in the pig pen all the blessings that he was missing in father's house. He didn't see it when he was ungrateful and full of worldly lust, but in the pig pen, he came to realize that there was abundant provision in Father's house. There was music and celebration in Father's house. There was light and warmth in Father's house. There was security and peace in Father's house. There was equality and justice in Father's house. Everyone was treated with dignity and compassion, a far cry from the experience he had out there in the world. Although he was born a son, what caused the prodigal to finally come to his senses was jealousy over the servants in his father's house. He said to himself, "Even the servants in my father's house are treated better than the world has treated me." Beloved, receive this word from the Lord this morning. Don't write off the prodigals. They might have left in an ugly way. They might have gone far, far away. They might have been away for a long time, but don't write them off. God is able to awaken faith in the hearts of prodigals and reunite them to himself and to his family again. Well, you're going to do it. You got to do it. Commit. When I go to teach at the School of Acts every year, I always finish the week with a question and answer session with the students. I let them ask me any question they want to ask. I don't answer every question, but I let them ask. But one of the questions I always get is, what has been the greatest challenge in your ministry? And my answer is people leaving. You know, my dad left when I was 16, on my 16th birthday, in fact, and it left a little hole in my heart. And so when people leave, even though they leave for many different reasons, I take it very personally. It hurts. I take it as a rejection. And when people leave, I tend to write them off. But you know, as I was praying over these verses this week, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, Glenn, don't ever write off someone that I haven't written off. And beloved, that's a word from the Lord for all of us. Let's not write off people that God has not written off. He hasn't written off hard-hearted and wild-hearted people. He hasn't written off prodigals, even though they might have written us off. God alone searches the hearts of men, and he knows what we don't know. He knows the prodigals out there that have just about had their fill of harsh treatment in the world and are jealous for what they're missing in Father's house. God can and will use us to make prodigals jealous. Let's believe that this will be the year. Who shall we make jealous? Who shall we make jealous? Let's make Jewish hearts jealous. You know, there are many practical applications that we can draw from Romans 11, but we must not forget that this chapter is first and foremost about God's beloved Jewish people. And what it teaches about the Jewish people is that they are not beyond finding faith in Christ. They are not beyond being provoked to jealousy by us. Beloved, I have news for you. Jesus is Jewish. The very first believers in Jesus were all Jewish. The apostles, Jewish. Paul, the apostle who brought the gospel to the Gentiles, Jewish. In every New Testament church, there were significant numbers of Jewish believers in Jesus. In every century of church history, there have been Jewish believers in Jesus, many more than we realize. There are many Jewish people right now ready to come to faith in Jesus. And as human history draws to a close, Paul tells us in Romans 11 that there will be a tremendous number of Jewish people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we're intimidated to share Christ with our Jewish friends as if they're much harder to reach than anyone else. But I want to tell you, that kind of thinking is not in alignment with the Word of God. Paul is telling us here that if God can call hard hearts and wild hearts and prodigal hearts to faith in Christ, he certainly can and will call Jewish hearts, and he wants to use us to do it. You know, here at Harvest Time, we have a very unique opportunity to reach Jewish hearts that most churches don't have. For one thing, we happen to live in an area in the world with one of the highest concentrations of Jewish people, over 2 million in the New York metro area. And we have an unusually large number of Jewish believers in Jesus who worship right here at Harvest Time. And we're blessed to partner with our friends at Messiah's House, who can help us learn how to intercede for Jewish people and how to share Christ with them. And I really believe that what's in store for our church for the future is that God wants to do something very special with regard to Jewish and Gentile believers worshiping together here. Last September, I had a dream of our first service in the new building, and the guest speaker was a messianic Jewish rabbi. I know that the rabbi was Jesus himself, but it's significant that he came as a messianic Jewish rabbi. And I believe that God's plan for our new building is for scores of Jewish people to come to faith in Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, in our new building. I really want to encourage you, if you haven't yet connected with Messiah's House that meets here every month, I want you to make a point to connect with them in 2017. They meet one Friday night a month, and during the Jewish feasts, we have special services where they bring out the meaning of Christ in every one of the Jewish feasts. They're meeting this Friday evening. Our friend Grant Barry is going to be sharing his testimony, how he, as a Jewish man, became a believer in Jesus Christ and has led many hundreds of Jewish people into faith in Christ. So I want to encourage you to connect with Messiah's House and what God is doing here, because I believe it's God's plan for us. Let's make someone jealous in 2017. A few truths from Romans 11. Who shall we make jealous? Second, what will make them jealous? Romans 11 tells us that God's desire is to use us to provoke jealousy, but what about us specifically will God use to make people jealous? What will they see in us that will awaken spiritual hunger? What will they see in us that will make them say, I need that, I want that? Well, Paul says that the blessings that were promised to and pursued by Israel were not obtained by them, but they have been obtained by us by faith. So what are these blessings that provoke jealousy? A few things that I find very quickly. What are the blessings that provoke jealousy? One thing is God's fiery presence with us. God's promise to Abraham was, do not be afraid, Abraham, I will be with you. And then God appeared to Abraham as a burning lamp and a smoking furnace. God appeared to Moses as a burning bush and a fiery cloud and a fiery tornado. When Solomon dedicated the temple, God's fiery presence filled the temple so that the priests couldn't stand and minister. When Elijah called on God at the time of the evening sacrifice, God answered him with fire from heaven. On top of a mountain, Jesus' face became consumed with fire. His clothes became consumed with fire. He was enveloped in a cloud of fire. After Jesus' resurrection, 120 believers were gathered in an upper room, and the fire of God appeared in that room and sat on top of each one of them. And the fiery presence of God is still with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. When we gather to worship, his fiery presence is here with us. When we speak under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, when we tell people about Jesus and the presence of God suddenly invades that moment, we feel his fiery presence. When we lay hands on people in Jesus' name and the presence of God comes, we feel the fire of his presence, and that provokes jealousy among those whom God is calling. They say, I want that. I need that. I want that fire. What are the blessings that provoke jealousy? Another thing I find is our forgiveness and our freedom in Christ. In Galatians 2, Paul says when he visited Jerusalem, the Jews there were jealous of his freedom in Christ. How could Paul live so carefree out from under the law? How could he be so confident and so at peace with God? How could he dismiss the letter of the law and yet somehow fulfill the spirit of the law? It provoked them to jealousy. And forgiveness and freedom in Christ is still powerful to provoke jealousy among people today. To those whose souls are stained with sin, the relief that forgiveness brings is attractive. To those who have struggled to break free from bondage to sin, from addiction, the promise of freedom is attractive. To those who have labored under the heavy hand of religion, trying to please God and earn their way to heaven, the free grace that comes simply by believing in Jesus is attractive. What are the blessings that provoke jealousy? Another thing I find is uncommon fruitfulness. Paul is playing with us a little bit in Romans chapter 11. Paul says that God has grafted wild olive branches into the tree of his family, and they bore good fruit contrary to nature. Now, the Roman Christians knew that what Paul was saying was absolutely ridiculous. What Paul was suggesting is precisely the opposite of what happens in nature. Wild olive trees don't produce useful fruit. The fruit is small, it is bitter, it is inedible, it's not even good for oil, it is garbage, it is thrown away, it is good for nothing. Now, when a horticulturalist grafts a branch into a tree, the branch will yield whatever type of fruit belongs to that branch. So, for example, if you graft a nectarine branch into a peach tree, it will not bear peaches, it will bear nectarines. If you graft a wild olive branch into a cultivated olive tree, it will not bear good olives, it will bear bitter, useless, wild olives. But Paul says that something supernatural happens when God grafts us into Jesus and into the family of God by faith, rather than producing the bitter, unusable fruit that was true to our nature. Instead, we produce uncommonly good fruit, contrary to nature. Even though we're wild by nature, when God grafts us into Jesus, we produce the fruit of a loving heart and a loving personality. We produce the fruit of a joyful spirit that the world can't take away. We produce the fruit of peace of mind and demeanor. We produce the fruit of patience and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and meekness and self-control. We blossom into something beautiful that we previously were not and never could have been. And that beauty of Christ that flows through us provokes jealousy in hard and wild and prodigal and Jewish hearts. What are the blessings that provoke jealousy? Another thing I find is God's favor with us. God told Abraham, "Don't be afraid, Abraham. I will be your shield and your very great reward." The favor of God protected Abraham everywhere he went. The favor of God prospered Abraham everywhere he went. The favor of God enabled Abraham to persevere until he realized the fulfillment of every promise God had made. And the favor of God does the same for us. The favor of God protects us, it propels us through life, and it prospers us. You want to know what the favor of God looks like? The favor of God looks like a little church buying a $3 million piece of land for $1.5 million. And then a year later getting offered $6 million for it. I often regret that I didn't take the money and run. The favor of God looks like a little church building a $4.5 million building for $3 million. And then when it was time to build again, the favor of God looks like the town of Greenwich temporarily changing their zoning laws so we could double the size of the building. The favor of God looks like a new church building that was supposed to cost $24 million and cost $12.9 million instead. That's the favor of God. You know, as the building is getting more and more complete, I've had lots of pastors calling me. Pastors are coming to see me. They're coming to see the new building, and they're jealous in a really good way. Their faith is inspired, and they realize, they look at us and say, if God could bless wild branches like this, then God could bless anybody. What are the blessings? Come on, that's good. What are the blessings that provoke jealousy? Another one I find is God's family. God's family. You know, the funny thing about social media is that the more we connect to it, the more disconnected we become to one another in real life. People are hungry for community. They're hungry for family. Jesus talked about in John 15 about the good fruit we would produce in him, but he said, here's what will make people stand up and pay attention. Here is what will provoke jealousy, the love you have for one another. Beloved, listen to me. No matter how wired up the coming generation might be, God knows how we're really wired inside. He knows what we really need and what we will always need, and that is His family. And what might happen if we made it our goal to be that family in 2017 that makes people jealous? What if we made it our goal to love one another and to serve one another and to care for one another in such a way that when people come and visit here, they see it and they say, I want that. I need that. Let's make someone jealous in 2017. A few truths. Who shall we make jealous? What will make them jealous? Finally, this, how will we make them jealous? Worship team, come help me. How will we make them jealous? I want you to listen to this as I close. In verse 13 of Romans 11, Paul says, I make the most of my ministry so that I might provoke people to jealousy and save some of them. What does he mean by that? What Paul means is I apply myself to my ministry so that it can be the best that it possibly can be. I do the things that I need to do in order to make my ministry dynamic in the spirit and fruitful and effective in order to provoke people to jealousy so that some might be saved. I fast. I pray. I apply myself to the Word of God. I keep myself unspotted from the world. I keep myself in the love of God. I continue in the kindness of God. I keep building up my most holy faith. I make the most of my ministry. I do everything I can do so that my ministry flourishes and blossoms and is as beautiful and as attractive as it can be, so that I might provoke people to jealousy and some of them might be saved. What if we made that our goal in 2017? What if as individuals, we made it our mission to make the most of our walk with Christ so that we could provoke the people in our life to jealousy? Beloved, listen to me. God doesn't make any mistakes. God cares about the most infinite details of your life. Jesus said, the Father, a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground, but your Father sees it and He knows. God knows exactly where you're at. He knows the neighborhood you're in. He knows the company that you work for. He knows the circle of friends. And God has intentionally put you where you are to provoke those people to jealousy. What have you made it your goal? I'm going to make the most of my walk with Christ. I'm going to press into God. I'm going to grow. I'm going to build up my faith. I'm going to encourage myself in the Spirit. I'm going to build worship and the Word and prayer into my life. I'm going to make the most of what I am so that I can provoke others to jealousy. And what if we as a church family, what have we said? We're going to do the things that we need to do to make our church dynamic in the spirit and effective and fruitful so that we can provoke people to jealousy. How do we do that? Last thought and I'm done. Last thought and we're done. How do we make the most of our ministry? Ironically, we make the most of our ministry by staying humble. Paul reminds us that the only way that we've become united to Christ and to the family of God is by grace through faith. God chose us. We didn't do anything to earn it. We didn't do anything to deserve it. Otherwise, Paul says here, it wouldn't be grace. So don't become proud and think it was something you did. That's the opposite of faith. That's self-reliance. Don't think that the blessings that you've received have made you better than the wild-hearted, hard-hearted, prodigal-hearted people who are out there. If the good cultivated branches were temporarily cut off because of unbelief, how much more will we, the wild branches, be cut off if we become arrogant? Faith is humility. It's trusting in Christ and His cross alone for our salvation. And when we do that, the life of Christ flows through us and we produce uncommonly good fruit. And that's something the world cannot resist. Let's make someone jealous in 2017. Who shall we make jealous? What will make them jealous? And how will we make them jealous? By humbly trusting in Jesus. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus a great big praise in this place this morning? Come on, let's give him a good praise today. Just before we close today and go on with our Sunday and begin a new week in Jesus, I would love us to just worship the Lord one more time, and I'd like us to just pray together before we go home. I know we have some guests with us today, and I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, but I would love for you all to join me here at the front as we just worship for one moment and pray. And if you're willing to come down and join me, I want to invite you to just step out of your seat, come right down the aisle. If you're coming, come all the way down to the front. We're going to just sing, and then we're going to offer prayer to the Lord together before we go home. If you're coming, come all the way down so that those coming behind you can find a place. Come on, lift up your voices. I'm no longer a slave.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Say this prayer with me. We're just going to invite the Lord to use us to make people jealous. Come on, would you pray with me? Would you follow after me? Father, use me. Come on, use me. Use me to make someone jealous. Open-hearted people. Hard-hearted people. Wild-hearted people. Prodigals. Come on, pray this with me. Father, forgive me for writing off people that you haven't written off. Give me eyes to see the people that are in the grace process. Give me eyes to see the people that you're calling. Help me make them jealous. Father, let me bear uncommon fruit. Let me bear the fruit of love. Let me bear the fruit of joy. Let me bear the fruit of peace. Let me bear the fruit of patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, beautiful fruit, attractive fruit that makes people jealous. Father, use me. Use us in 2017. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, listen, I'm going to pray, and you agree with me if you would. Don't follow me, just agree with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would put grace upon harvest time to reach many Jewish hearts, Lord, to provoke many Jewish hearts to jealousy. Father, I pray that we would be that beautiful family of God. I pray, Father, that we would love one another, that we would serve one another, that we would care for one another, Lord, that we would be that family of God that makes people so jealous, that makes them say, I need that, I want that, I want to be part of that. Father, I pray that you would show us how to share the goodness of Jesus with Jewish people, with your beloved Jewish people. Father, we know that, Lord, those with hard hearts are not permanently hard. They're only partially hard. Lord, Father, we know that nothing's too hard. So, Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would put grace upon us, that many, many Jewish people would come to find faith in Yeshua, Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. Lord, do a miracle here, we pray. God, use us to make many jealous. We ask in Jesus' name. If your heart agrees, say amen. Would you? Would you give the Lord a praise? God bless you, everyone. For our benediction, I want you to hug 3 or 10 people, and I want you to tell them, you make me jealous. We're going to be here Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Wednesday at 7 for Vision Night. God bless you. Lord be with you. Favor of God be on you.